If you have your Bibles, John chapter 6, John chapter 6, familiar story that we're going to look at in just a moment. Many years ago, there was a pastor, and he was asked to conduct a funeral for a man that was helpful in developing the first Boeing 747 aircraft. After the service, the pastor spoke with the widow, and he commented on how remarkable it was that her late husband had helped build that marvelous machine. She told the pastor the truth was that her husband actually worked on one little switch box that was the size of basically a loaf of bread, and that he worked on that little box for 15 years. That was all he worked on. She continued, though, and she said that when the first 747 lifted off the ground, he was one of the happiest men alive. He worked for 15 years on one small little box, size of a loaf of bread. It seems so insignificant. However, without that box, the 747 would have never lifted and been in the air. It seems so simple, so insignificant. This evening, we will consider a small lunch. It seems very insignificant. But in the right hands, it made a difference. In John chapter 6, we see in verse 5, John 6, 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? As he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them which had eaten. Then those men, which when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Heavenly Father, I pray that this evening, as we take just a few moments and we look and consider the need for a lunch, I pray that you would help us, Lord, that maybe as a young person sitting here, maybe it's somebody that has been coming for a long time. And Lord, in their mind's eye and their consideration of their life is insignificant. But Lord, we see here a great example for us. We see disciples. We see some folks that were following Christ. And yet, Lord, maybe in their mind, they, and I think we're going to see that come out, I think that they thought a little much of their opinion. But Lord, this little lad, he gave his all that he had at that time to you. I thank you for the example of Scripture. I thank you that it can teach us. And Lord, I pray that that would be accomplished this evening. As always, Lord, I ask for you to do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. This miracle is an interesting study because it's the only miracle besides the resurrection of Christ, because I consider that kind of a miracle, that is listed in all 4 Gospels. Also, there's other interesting things about it. It's one of the only 6 miracles that involves food. 2 of those miracles we know was a feeding of the 5,000 and a feeding of the 4,000. And so there are 4 other food miracles. I guess food wasn't that important. All right, but there's most people consider 33 or 34 miracles in the time of Christ when he was here on this earth. And so we have really 2 kind of related with feeding a multitude. Also, what's interesting about the feeding of the 5,000, it's mentioned four times, all right, so we know that, and three other gospels, so we know it's four times, but specifically, the feeding of the 5,000 is mentioned a total of nine times in Scripture, all right, in the gospels itself, so it's referenced as something that was great that is that had happened. It's also those of you that just got back from the Holy Lands. We took a trip. We just landed last Thursday from the Holy Lands. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, we'd be quarantined right now eating Mediterranean food for months. We were over there, and this is one of the sites, if you guys remember, we were not able to see. But remember, folks that were there, we went up to Bethsaida. In Luke chapter 9, you read that the disciples were taken up to Bethsaida. So right down from Bethsaida is what traditionally is the site of the feeding of the 5,000. So those that were there, if you can remember, on the Sea of Galilee, Bethsaida is almost straight north. It's up here, and Capernaum is off a little over here. So it really makes sense that at the end of this, there would have been a boat sitting there, and Jesus would have gotten onto the boat, and they would have gone over to Capernaum. It would have been a lot easier driving over there. It's very hilly, up and down and up and down. It would have been a lot easier to get into a boat and just go right across to Capernaum. And so that's kind of the narrative as we look at it. But in this text this evening, I just want to consider three things. And if you got the outline, it's there, the three different things to consider this evening. We first have the disciples, then we have the lad, and then thirdly, we have the Savior. So I want to consider those three things because they're the main, yes, there's the people involved, but really, as far as what we're kind of consider the need for a lunch, I want us to consider those three people involved in this miracle. First of all, you have the disciples, and they are a picture of lost opportunity. And why do I say that? Because here are the disciples, and they of all people should have been there ready and raring to go. They've been hanging out with Jesus, and most believe probably a little longer than a year at this time. From the indication, it probably seems like it was springtime. And so here they've been hanging out with Jesus. They've seen some amazing things that have happened. They've left some things. If you remember the story of Andrew and Simon, some of them that were fishers of men, and they left everything and they're following Christ. They had given up a lot of things, and they've seen some amazing things with hanging out with Jesus. So you would think that here are the disciples and here's a problem. Hey, it's no big deal. This is Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is the person that we've been waiting for. And I bet you he's got some amazing things cooked up here. And I just want to sit back and watch. But what's amazing is, first of all, the doubt. Look at in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, we see Philip saying, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" We see some doubt. We see that also they say 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't be possible to feed these guys. Now, that idea of penny worth, it is the word denarius. All right, denarius. Most people, looking back at this time, believe that that denarius, one penny worth, that denarius was one day's wage. So basically, what Philip was saying is that it was going to take a lot of resources to feed these people. So what is this disciple saying to Jesus? It's probably going to take more than you got. Which to me is irritating that you're saying that to my Savior. All right, that's what he's looking at him and saying, hey, you know what? It's going to take a lot. Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know you're talking to the Creator? Do you know you're talking to the person in Hebrews chapter 1 that basically all things consist because of him? Without him being here, there wouldn't be anything that existed. That's who you're talking to. But hey, you know what? I'm a disciple now. Don't you know who I am? Got it together. I've been following Jesus. I mean, actually, I think I picked Christ, maybe. You know, I was walking around, I'm like, hey, you need me, don't you?
I'm thinking that some of that is coming across. And I think that sometimes we get the same attitude that the disciples get, that God is privileged, Christ is privileged to get me to hang, you know, just to get to hang out with me. Yet here we see that there's some doubt there. The lunch is brought to him. And I think also the other doubt that exists is when they say that it's going to take so much. I think sometimes we start looking at the circumstances instead of the God that is with us. You see that all the time. You see that in life. Sometimes we're focusing on the circumstance rather than on the command or on the God who is able. The scripture still says that God is able to do abundantly above all that we think or ask. It still says that. It is still there in scripture. And that's our Savior. So with the disciples, we see doubt. Then we also see desertion. Notice in Luke chapter 9, that's a parallel passage. If you are marking it down, the parallel passages, I didn't write the Mark passage down, but the two other passages we're going to look at is Matthew 14 and Luke chapter 9. But in Luke chapter 9 is a parallel passage of the feeding of the 5,000. And you'll notice, and the apostles, when they were returned, told them all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. So those that were there, and we visited Bethsaida, I think Monday or Tuesday of last week, this is right in that area. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go. That's why I say with the disciples you see doubt, and that you see with the penny, the 200 penny worth. Here you see desertion, because guess what they tell Jesus to do? Send the people away. It is never a good idea to send people away from Christ, just so you know that. It is never a good idea for you when a problem comes up to get away from Christ. Instead, you should be running to him. And here you see, man, it's a dumb idea, disciples. And some of it is just that. Sometimes we get so smart in our own ideas that maybe just go to scriptures. And aligned your thinking up with scriptures. So we see desertion there. It's never a good idea to steer people away from Christ. And when we seek to win others to Christ, it is never a good idea for us to be the highlight. It's not, you know, maybe they were thinking, you know what, I'm going to come up with this great idea. And it is so many times in the work of Christ that man gets in the way. And so many things in God's work and in God's ministry and in his and winning of souls, I believe that man hinders it. Get out of the way and let Christ be glorified and honored. We also see the discounting. We see that in Luke chapter 9, also in verses 12 and 13. It says, and when the day began to wear away, it says, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and countries round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all the people. And the discounting is this. It's just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But in God's hands, it's enough. And my challenge to all of us here, sometimes we think that, man, I've got to have some special talent. I've got to have some special ability. I've got to have some intellect to be able to offer him. No, you don't. You can be a lad that just has 5 simple barley loaves. And most of the time when people look at the barley loaves, they're saying it was a poor man's food. And all you have to have is a poor man's, maybe a livelihood and a poor man's ability, but given into the right hands, it can do mighty things. Don't discount the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So that's the disciples. Then we see the lad. The lad is a picture of a surprising resource. I think we see a couple of things with the lad. First, the lad had a lunch. All right. We don't know much about this lad. We don't know much about his parents. We don't know much about his family situation. But this is what we know. He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The loaves are listed as 5 barley loaves. And as I mentioned already, most believe that that was somewhat of a poor man's food. It probably wouldn't have been necessarily sandwiches as we consider it here in America. But loaves. But this is what we see about the lad with the lunch. He was willing to bring what he had to Christ. There's a hymn by Francis Havergill. I put it on the back side, a couple of the verses on the handout. And one of the verses says, "Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold." It's a matter of record that this hymn was an autobiographical story of Frances Havergal. This is what she said when she wrote this. She said, "Take my silver and my gold means shipping off all my ornaments, including a jewel cabinet, which is really fit for a countess, to the Church Missionary Society." And that's what she did. She wasn't somebody that wrote some words that were cute and poetical, but it was something that somebody else should do. And this is instructive to you and I, and that is that what we have, we should be willing to give to God. Give it to Christ. You'll never regret anything that you put in His hands. But this is what I can tell you. You'll regret a lot of things that you keep in your own. And most of us that are a little older, this is what we can testify. There are some things, and this happens, I say daily, because daily I believe we need to come and do the Romans 12:1, and we need to come to Him and present our bodies a living sacrifice. I don't think that's a one-time occurrence. I think it's a daily thing that I'm presenting my body. I'm dying daily. I'm presenting it and saying, "Today, Lord, my lips, my feet, my hands, my mind, my all is Yours." And every day we must present that to Him. But there are some days I'm the same as you. Some days I don't feel like doing it. And at the end of those days, there's regret. And those that have lived the Christian life here, we all can testify to that. But the days that God has gotten all, there is no regret at the end of the day. But there's something in our flesh that says, I think I can do better with my barley loaves. Remember what it is. I don't care how smart you are. All right. I love education. We have an academy. All right. We have a college. We're looking at starting a seminary. You know, I enjoy education. But education is only good in God's hands. Otherwise, it's barley loaves. It's not worth a lot. But in His hands, it's worth a lot. And so we see with the lad that he had a lunch and he was willing to give it to Christ. The other thing about that lunch is the lad was seen by Christ. And that is exciting to me. All right, we don't know a lot about him, but I know this. Jesus knew who that lad was. And I believe that He recognizes and He takes notice of people that are willing to give up their all to Him. The lad was seen by Christ also. So we see the disciples. We see the lad, but then we see the Savior. And what do we see about the Savior? We see a picture of omnipotent power. And there's a couple of things that kind of took notice of with Christ. As far as I think the interesting thing as you read the parallel passage, and we'll look at a couple of them. But first, you don't see any panic. You notice you're like, what? Holy cow! It's a virus! Or you just don't see that with them. You don't see panic with Christ. Hey, you know what? This ain't a shock. This ain't a shock. I really think that one of the problems with America right now, because we're so removed from the Bible and from a Christian perspective, that death is just scary. And death is something, it can be scary. But death will happen to everybody, or the rapture will occur. And either way, it's something that then we get ushered into the presence of the Lord. All right? Because if I'm absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord. But guess what? There's so many people, and I think most of us sitting here, we believe in the Savior. And when you have a Savior, guess what? He provides peace. There's no panic. Hey, this must be meant to be then. Hey, you know what? This is an opportunity. Remember so many times the disciples would be panicked and Christ would say, wait. Hey, this is an opportunity. Remember with Lazarus? I mean, they're panicked and they're saying, hey, your friend, the man you love. And Jesus hangs out for a couple more days. You're like, hello? Man, if that's how, and they're probably whispering, if that's how he treats his friends. Wow, I don't think I'm even liked as much. I don't know what he's going to do. No, but guess what? They turned and they kind of questioned him. What did he say? Hey, you're gonna see glory through this. God has a purpose. So you see that there's no panic. And you even see that he kind of takes charge. We see this in one of the passages in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 16. Remember, the disciples come and they said, hey, Jesus, send them away. Which is kind of interesting, because the disciples, going back to the people that are involved, the disciples are telling Christ what to do. All right? And we get the same way. Don't get all pious and be like, oh, those disciples. You do the same thing in your prayer life, and so do I sometimes. We're telling God, hey, I believe this is the best deal here. But Christ, look at what he says in Matthew 14, 16. He says, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. They don't need to depart. There's no panic. Keep them here. I got this. You're talking to God here. I can handle this. There's no panic. He takes charge. He knows what he's going to do. How do I know that? That says it in the passage in John. Remember in John chapter 6, it says that he comes up to Philip and he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Oh my word, what are we going to do? But behind the scenes, I love scripture. It helps us out. It says, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know what? You don't have to panic. You don't have to panic if you are in Christ. You don't have to panic. There's no panic with Christ. But then you also see that there's a process. And what I noticed, I went through all the parallel passages. There was five commands given. Five commands. Matthew 14, 16 says, give ye them to eat. It's commanded. Give ye them to eat. That seems simple enough, right? It's not hard. Matthew 14, 18 says, bring the food to me. That's a command. Luke chapter 9 and verse 14, make them sit down in 50s. That's pretty specific, isn't it? Luke chapter 9 and verse 16, set the food before the people. I put the exact words, and you're noticing every one of them is a command. Then John chapter 6 and verse 12, gather up the fragments that remain. Five simple commands. And this is what I've learned in my life and serving Him. Almost every time that I'm going to do something for God, He has simple commands that He expects me to do. And you will never experience the blessing of God and the multiplication necessary that God wants to do when you decide that God's commands are so simple, I don't need to do them. And you come up with your own ideas, and so many times, and I'm not just talking about young people, I'm talking about folks that have been saved for 20 years or 30 years. I'm coming up on 40 years being saved, and at some point, four decades, you know, hey, I got this. No, you don't. I don't got it. I simply have to do what God tells me to do. And when you get to the place that you can tell Christ what to do and you can ignore His commands, this is what I'm telling you. You will be like one of those disciples that are sitting back looking and saying, what in the world? I missed out. And a little lad who has five barley loaves and two fishes steps right up to the plate. And he says, hey, sir, back up. You know why? Yeah, because Mr. Big Shot, with the big brain, with the big intellect. Yeah, you got a little bigger than to do the simple commands that God told you to do. There's a process. And remember that. The process is doing simply what God says. Then you'll notice in the passage in John chapter 6, in verse 12, it says, when they were filled with our Savior. You see, there's no panic. There is a process. But you see also there's a plentiful supply. They're filled. And this is what I can tell you as a young person sitting here tonight. You hand over your lunch to Christ instead of keeping it for yourself. At the end of your days, your life will be filled and overflowing. But you keep it on your own. You keep it on your own. There'll be sorrow. There'll be misery. There'll be heartache. There's a plentiful supply. But the other thing that I love about it, it says, when they were filled, in verse 12, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. Notice what He says, that nothing be lost. You know what? There's never any waste in God's service. It's not a waste at all. And Christ is careful to make sure of that. He's careful. And what I can tell you from my own life, when I have decided to do my own thing, and from testimonies of, I would say, dozens and dozens of people that I have talked with, worked with, whether it was here or around the world, people that said, guess what? It's not worth it. He can have just a little bit, but I deserve this. And they have decided that the devil or themselves, they deserved some of the loaves. They deserve some of this lunch. And they took it themselves. And this is what I can tell you. The devil, he's not worried about anything in your life. In fact, he loves when your life is wasted. But Christ looks out and He cares. What's the big deal? Everybody was filled. They were all filled up. Come on. Aren't there starving people in India? You can just ship it over there. Isn't there a billboard somewhere? Somebody can come by and pick it. He says, no. Pick it up. I don't want anything lost. That's our Savior. Our Savior cares so much. And He cares so much about each and every aspect of our lives. He saved it. He shed His blood so that my soul can spend eternity in heaven. But He's not just concerned about heaven. He's concerned about how I live it here on this life and this earth. And so here we see the disciples. We see the lad. We see the Savior. What have you been fretting about this past week? Is God able to meet the need? Yeah. Maybe you've been doubting God. Maybe you've been like the disciples and you're doubting Him or discounting what God can do. Well, why don't you turn the whole matter over to Him? God is able to do amazing things with what we give Him. Maybe you've been holding on to your lunch. Maybe you have your own desires. God is saying, hey, just hand it over to me. Many years ago, there was a nature photographer. He went to an area that was having major forest fires. His desire was to get an award-winning shot. And so, as the fires were sweeping through these western states, that's what his desire was. So his newspaper got a hold of him one afternoon, and he was told that he was to fly with such and such a company at such and such a field. The photographer jumped in his car, got to the airfield, and there he found a plane revving up. So he jumped in, and the pilot took off. As the pilot got into the air and stabilized a little bit, the photographer put on his headset, and he motioned for the pilot. And he started talking to him, and he says, hey, you know, right over there, that's where it looks like the fire is the hottest. I want you to go over there. We're going to get some of these shots. The pilot's voice started shaking, and he said, you mean you aren't the instructor? Now, luckily, because of some really good air traffic controllers, they got the two of them back down safely on the tarmac. But as I read that story, I thought of many of us who jump into life trusting someone who doesn't have a clue, who doesn't have the capability of performing the miracle that needs to be done, and you just jump in, and there you are. And reckless abandon with some idiot that has no idea of what he's doing. And yet, Christ gives you all the guidance you need. Right here. In His book. And yet, sad to say, some of you this morning, it was left unopened. Oh, but you texted somebody and you checked some Facebook or Instagram or some other stupid social media and what some nutty friend of yours has to say because, man, they're wise. No, actually, they're stupid. Just like you are. Because you ignored this. And this has been, according to God, it'll be preserved not just for my generation, but forever. And it's God's words. It's not just a word. It's words. Every word that God wants has been preserved for me. So maybe I should start relying on somebody that can do what He says He can do. I ask you this evening, have you been maybe a little arrogant with God? Maybe you've been like one of the disciples. Like, oh, hey, God, I got this. No, you don't. No. Maybe it is that you've forgotten the Savior that we have. Maybe there's something that It's a little traumatic in your life in the last month or so. And you've taken it on yourself, and man, it's a little disturbing. Why not come to Christ, who without any panic can say, hey, I got this. Make them stay. What do they have? Oh, bring the food to me. Make them sit down. And then serve them up. And then gather the extras, because I don't want any lost. That's our Savior. And if you bring what you have to Him, He can take it